Good morning, everyone. Welcome each one to the service this morning. Extra good again to have everybody here and our visitors. Welcome home. So it's good to have each of you. Good to have each of you here this morning. So one time I was standing in a crowd of shoving, shouting Bangladeshis down on a riverfront, and I was looking for a friend. I was going to be meeting a friend. He was going to be taking me somewhere, and this was in a place that I was unfamiliar with. I didn't really know where to go. I didn't know where I was exactly supposed to meet him. So I showed up off the ferry, and just this cacophony of sound all around. There's street vendors carrying whatever it was they were selling, and they were bellowing out the virtues of their wares and the lowness of their prices. And then, of course, there were taxi drivers and porters who were leaning in at close range, deafening me with the offers of fares or assistance, transportation, bus boys squalling about immediate departure to some place or another and trying to beckon me to jump onto a bus. I had no clue where I was going. And I must admit, there was a little piece of me that wanted to just go on a bus just to see if the place that they were taking me was going to be as fantastic as they were trying to make it sound. And then, of course, at the same time, horns were blowing, engines were revving, just total bedlam. And then I heard a familiar voice calling my name. Through all the noise, I heard somebody calling my name, somebody that I recognized, and it was my friend. And I turned in the direction that I heard the voice come from and wended my way through the crowd till I found him. And I thought about it then, you know, that's kind of amazing that I heard that in the middle of all this racket. Now, I've seen statistics, I don't remember what they are, but of the way that you are able to hear your own name, even if you're in the middle of a conversation with someone else, even if they're not talking about you, if they're talking about somebody else with the same name, if somebody else in the room uses your name, how that breaks through whatever it is that you're doing or you're talking about. And unfortunately, a lot of that is because we're pretty self-centered. But that is something that stands out to us. And that's why parents often use full names in times when they want extra attention to be drawn to a situation. But there's voices that we hear that will instantly take our attention. And I'd like to talk this morning a little bit about recognizing voices. And I'm going to use for my text 1 Samuel chapter 3. And this is the account of God calling to Samuel. And before I read this chapter, just a little bit of the background to this. We know the story of Samuel, how he was dedicated to the work of the Lord, but he was put in a situation where not everything was really good. What was happening at the temple wasn't everything that should have been happening at the temple. Eli's sons, the high priest, his sons were being an abomination to all that was holy. In fact, their sins were so numerous and disgusting that the Bible calls them sons of Belial. In other words, they were totally without God. They were supposed to be representing the connection between God and his people, but instead the Bible says they're making people abhor the offering of the Lord. What a terrible thing. So a man of God comes to Eli, and he talks to him and tells him that his lineage will come to ruin. His sons will die. Family members or those other priests will be reduced to poverty. God himself will turn against him. And this man of God is a voice from the Lord. But it's coming through an anonymous source. The Bible doesn't say who this man was. Now, High Priest Eli, as the priest, should have been getting this voice directly from God. But because of how poorly he was running things, this had to come through him from someone else. And meanwhile, it says in 1 Samuel 2, it says that Samuel's status was growing. He was increasing in favor. So that's kind of the background of this story here. Now I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledst me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Recognizing voices. God speaks to Samuel. Now what? First of all, Samuel hears the voice. He mistakes it for Eli's. He runs to help Eli three times, in spite of each time being assured that he was not being called for. And I see in that somebody who is willing, helpful, to the point where he's willing to deal with what probably looked to him like forgetfulness on the part of Eli. No wonder God was able to use him for his willingness. But eventually Eli realizes what's happening. He counsels Samuel on what to do, and God is able to speak to Samuel. But then Samuel's afraid to tell Eli what happened. But Eli presses him, and so Samuel tells him. And then Eli responds very graciously to the terrible news that Samuel is clearly chosen by the Lord. And then Samuel becomes the mouthpiece of the Lord. So what are the lessons in here? What are some of the lessons in here? One I see is that listening to the voice of conscience keeps one from going to the depth that Eli's sons went to. When sins are caught and dealt with early on, they're much more likely to be a regret and not a tragedy. But listening to our own voice and blocking out the voices of others is dangerous. If we read in earlier chapters, we see that Eli's sons were deliberately blocking out voices that would have brought them to God, because it would have required humiliation of themselves. And it's kind of the way that we often reason our way through our decisions. It's easy for us to come up with all kinds of reasons to do something that is completely unsafe. I've done that with myself multiple times, standing at the edge of the cliff wanting to jump off into the water. And there's lots of good reasons why that's really dumb, but I was able to come up with lots of good reasons why it would be a great thing to do. When our guiding voice is our own ego or desire for recognition or notice, then we're setting ourselves up for spiritual disaster. When it's more important to me that I get what I want or feel like I can get by pushing hard enough, rather than listening to good counsel, then I'm putting myself in the position of Eli's sons. For them, unbridled selfishness was the dominant trait. Another lesson I see is that being the voice of discipline or doctrine is necessary. God punished Eli as well as his sons because Eli was not the voice of guidance that he should have been. And I see in that popularity is not a good reason not to stand for what's right. It can be quite difficult to be one standing for what you know is right when your friends or the people that you're with are scorning it. And young people, I'm going to encourage you especially, don't be the scorner. All of us want to be the one to stand up for what's right. But when you're with some people who say, that's not necessary, that's just being whatever, we don't need to do that, it's hard. Don't be the person who says that. Don't be the scorner. Many young men and women have ruined their lives, or at the very least lived in tremendous regret, because they were with a group of people that said, it's going to be okay. It's hard to take a stand, but it needs to be taken. And if you consistently find yourself in a situation where you're the only one who's standing, maybe it's time to remove yourself from that situation. Maybe it's time to find another friend group. But don't be the one that destroys someone else's conscience. Another lesson that I see here is that Samuel was listening for the voice of Eli. At that point, he was not listening for God. It says that Samuel didn't know God yet. But he was attentive to the needs of an older person. And again, young people, I encourage you, bridging the generation gap could be one of the best decisions that you ever make in your life. Befriend an older person and ask them questions. They've lived a lot of life, and they've got a lot of wisdom and experience that they can share. There's lessons to be learned that will benefit you for the rest of your life. And there are stories that you never knew were there, stories that will leave you amazed, and insights that will help you in dark times. I also see that Eli was also the authority for Samuel here. So listen to what your authority figures tell you. There's good reasons for the things that they say. They're not perfect. And sometimes, maybe they don't even do a very good job in following their own advice. But listen to the voices that care about you. And I see that Samuel responded instantly. And for me, that's very poignant because I procrastinate. I'll change my habits next week. I'll start listening to godly, upbuilding music after I finish this album. I'll choose better friends when I get a little bit older. I'll read profitable books when I have time to concentrate on them. I'll ask for advice after I try a few things first. I'll listen to my conscience after this one more time. I don't remember where I saw this quote, but I saw it somewhere. It said, "Now is the beginning of the rest of your life." Make those changes now. If you're struggling, find someone to help you. And on the other side of that, be someone who's looking for those that are asking for help. And then another lesson I see is that Eli spoke the counsel that enabled Samuel to recognize the voice of God. And I think that that's a key to this story. Because Eli could have been bitter, resentful, and angry that God was speaking to this child and not to him. That God was going to be using this child in the place of his own sons. He could have, when he recognized that, sent him on a meaningless errand. I forgot to draw the curtains in the temple. Go do that for me. But he didn't. Eli recognized the voice of the Lord because there was a time he had heard it himself. He was weak, but he was willing to be the voice of wisdom that enabled one to surpass him, enabled one who would take his place to become the voice of God. And he was willing, even in his weakness, to help that young man recognize the voice of God. And it's where the story of Samuel takes a dramatic turn, going from being the temple errand boy that he is at the beginning of this chapter. By the end of the chapter, he's the one who is now going to be the voice of God in the nation of Israel. But why is it so hard to see someone surpass us? If we're successful farmers, it's hard to see someone come along and do it better. If we're good craftsmen, it's easy to pick apart the work of other craftsmen. And I think we do that because we like to be needed. We like to be useful. We like to be important. And it's easy for us to equate in our minds being needed with being valued. But those are not the same thing. We have value. We have equal value in the eyes of God, regardless of our usefulness. And if we could really truly grasp that concept that we're all of us are of equal value, I think we would see a dramatic turn for the things of God. If we could be like Eli in this way, recognizing our weaknesses, but willing to speak to someone else's strengths, I think that God's work can go forward with a limitless sweep. And I believe that's something that we have. I have many, many memories from the time that I was a young man of older men encouraging me in simple things after I had a devotions. After I got a haircut, I remember Harley Miller complimenting me on my nice haircut. He just thought it looked really good. He liked to see that. And there's lots of stories that I can think of like that where people were willing to give me a bit of encouragement when it wasn't really necessary. It wasn't anything phenomenal. It was simply encouragement. Things like, I see God using you as a faithful Christian. Keep listening to his voice. Helping each other recognize God at work where maybe we're not able to see it ourselves. And the lesson that I see in that is, be the voice that turns ears to God, not to me. And then I see that Samuel listened to the voice of God. He followed the advice that he was given by Eli. He listened to his counsel, and he heard the voice of God. He responded when God talked to him. And to hear God speaking, I have to listen for him. And to hear him speak again, I have to respond when I hear him speak to me. So to recognize the voices that will help you in the cacophony of voices that clamor for your attention, you have to know whose voice you're wanting to hear and be able to recognize it. So spend time listening to the right voices in quiet conversations, and then you'll recognize them, even in the din that shouts for your attention. Be attentive also to those who might be confused, and you can help them find the voice that will be their salvation. Be the voice that turns ears not to you, but to God. Let's kneel for prayer.